now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix.
Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, our very special guest is Tom Montauk. Tom Montauk is the author of Fringe Knowledge for Beginners, Discerning Alien Disinformation, and Transcending the Matrix Control System, Volumes 1 and 2. Tom's website is montauk.net, and Tom's got a lot of information to share today. He wants to talk about spiritual warfare, hyperdimensional self-defense, and a number of other topics. So without any further ado, Tom Montauk, welcome back to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Hey, thanks. Glad to be back.
Glad you're here with us, Tom. The subjects you wanted to talk about today are key because a lot of people out there are finding their way. They're just coming to grips with the fact that, you know what, I do seem to be at the center of someone or something's crosshairs. There's been a number of experiences in my life, inexplicable, unable to put them in any kind of a normal context. So these people are kind of groping around in the darkness. And, you know, your information is so timely and so topical. So please, you know, whatever you want to share about the spiritual warfare aspects and how to defend oneself, we'd love to hear it.
Yeah, it's a huge topic because, you know, when I was a kid, I had my own alien experiences. And at the time, I didn't know what they were. And actually, for the longest time, I forgot about them because, as we know, you know, these forces have a way of being able to sequester your memories in other parts of your mind, right? So it wasn't until I started researching the alien subject when I was 13, I got a library card and I read every UFO book in the local library. And it was a pretty decent library, too. That's when I started recognizing, hey, wait a minute, I remember this from when I was a kid. You know, like the whole fear, like a horrible fear of owls, which has to do with a screen memory that they implant. And you know, there's some visual similarity between the eyes of like a white owl compared to the eyes of a gray, for example. And that really freaked me out when I was a kid. But yeah, so after researching it and after starting to write about these subjects online and communicating with people, networking with them, starting to share different data points, I noticed I started getting a lot of weird interference in my life, like things that were just uncharacteristic, like waking up in the morning with strange UFO dreams, having bruises on me, scratches, my mind being discombobulated, having thoughts and compulsions in me that weren't there the night before. It's almost like something was done to me during the night that was intending to somehow influence my behavior in a negative, self-destructive way that would keep me from communicating with these people and sharing this information. And the number of people that I've talked to over the years that email me continuously, many of them have mentioned experiencing the same thing. And that's only the tip of the iceberg as far as how deep the manipulation can go, right? And I'm sure, James, you're kind of familiar with some of these phenomena yourself.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so I want to launch right into the principles of spiritual and hyperdimensional combat. So I have an article on my site called The Art of Hyperdimensional War. And what that article is, it's just this, you know, bare bones outline of many of the things that I learned from direct everyday experience dealing with what seems to be non-human levels of interference, you know, on your psychology, on your emotions, on your health, your network relations. I used to run the Noble Realms Forum for about 4 years between 2004 and 2008. And that was kind of a sandbox for dealing with, you know, people would call them trolls, but it was more than trolls because it seemed to be like I was playing chess with an invisible opponent that was using different forum members in extremely, extremely clever and timely ways to cause the maximum amount of damage to my reputation, to friendships, you know, things like that. And I learned so much from the way people can be manipulated and so on. And even after these events would happen, a lot of these people would write to me and they would say, I scared myself, you know, the way that I thought, the way that I felt, the way that I reacted. It's almost like something took a hold of me that was 100% out of proportion to, you know, what the trigger was. It's almost like there were a pre-cocked trigger, a pre-cocked spring that was just ready to go off, you know, at that exact moment, you know, to cause this huge chaos. And funny enough, over time, I started noticing when these flare-ups on the forum would occur, and they would always tend to occur around the same time of the month. It would shift a little bit by each month. And I noticed that there were cycles to it. Some of it I linked to the moon cycles, for example. And after I started researching occult lore about, you know, the moon and its influences, I know David Icke's written a book about the moon that was pretty interesting. Many people have written about how the moon being an artificial satellite has, you know, very funny things about it. But things about the moon actually go back hundreds of years in occult lore about how it has an influence on our own subtle energy fields. Almost like, Gurdjieff, he made an analogy about how the moon was almost like the spring and the pendulum of a mechanical clock, and how it pulls our strings, you know, I mean, we're not literal strings, but psychological, etheric, astral strings, into engaging in mechanical reactive behavior that ends up feeding some sort of a subtle energy economy that is being run by non-human beings. And this is stuff that esoteric masters and mystery schools have known about for, you know, thousands of years. So that was only a small component that kind of clued me into the manipulative nature and the intentional nature behind a lot of this interference that was going on. All right, so what I did recently was I actually looked up a lot of war literature, like the principles of war, the psychology of war, Sun Tzu, you know, Karl von Clausewitz, and so on. And a lot of these principles of war, I realized, applied to what these entities were doing. And I'm here, and by entities here, I'm talking about alien factions. I'm talking about black ops, military abduction factions. And I'm talking about even just what some people would call dark ghosts or demons, for example. So these types of forces, which I've had, you know, a lot of personal experience with, and I know hundreds of other people who have experiences with these things as well. These forces, they seem to use a set template for dealing with people. And it's somewhat customized to each person, but it's also kind of universal across the board. And the great thing about that, though, is that once you learn these principles, you can learn to spot them and how to counter them, right? So, just right off the bat here, I've got 9 principles of war that apply to occult/spiritual combat. You know, they include things like gathering intelligence, psychological warfare, attrition, the element of surprise, the importance of keeping up momentum, simultaneity, agility, efficiency, and leverage. So, James, if you want, I can just go through these if you want, and you know, I'll give some examples and. You know, and yeah, how to deal with each one. All right.
Please.
So let's start with the first one here. The first principle of intelligence. Basically, it means know your enemy better than they know you, and actually know them better than they know themselves. So the problem with that one is that's not a problem for aliens at all. For one, they have cloaking abilities. So, for example, like right now, if I had a pet, you know, if I had a cat, she might be able to sense the presence of some sort of a being here in the room. And we used to have a cat who unfortunately died of cancer, but she was psychic enough to be able to track invisible things in the air. And I'm sure many people listening who've had pets can also attest to that, that animals many times are psychic and they can sense these invisible presences. Now, sometimes they are just discarnate human spirits. Sometimes they're a little more serious, like demons. And on rare occasions, they might actually be alien beings. So, if they have cloaking abilities, and obviously they can see what you're doing, they're also extremely psychic. So they're able to not only read your mind, but also look into the future and scan what your probable reactions are going to be. They can look into your mind and they can profile you and everyone around you. So they know your strengths, they know your weaknesses, and they know when you're going to be the weakest, which plays into their timing about when they're going to try to pull something. Now, in my experience, demons are not as talented as aliens are. They're more like your average street thug versus some sort of a high-level white-collar criminal, which is what aliens are more like. So demons, from what I can tell, some of them can read your mind, but a lot of times they can't. But what they can do is they can hear what you say out loud. So if you are involved in any major projects, you're going to start any goals and dreams, a lot of times it pays off to not tell too many people about it. Kind of keep it to yourself unless the person needs to know. Because the more people you tell, the more chance there is for these forces, especially the more mischievous forces like demonic beings, to hear about it and then, you know, realize there's a good opportunity there to trip you up. So even amongst esoteric schools, there's this principle of silence. They say that silence has power. And I think the reason why that is because the more people you tell, not only are there more people that might doubt you, which itself has a kind of a psychic interference component, but there are forces that, you know, kind of make a sport out of tripping humans up and causing as much suffering and carnage and disappointment and, you know, loss of hope as possible. So that's the element of intelligence, you know, just the idea that they can profile us and know our strengths and our weaknesses and when to attack, right? So the next principle is psychological warfare, which means influencing what the enemy thinks and perceives in order to manipulate his behavior and pre-program his reactions. Now, the funny thing about this one is when the military does it, you know, they just do it through propaganda and scare tactics and so on. And that's because the military is limited in what intelligence it can gather and what access it has to the enemy. But aliens, on the other hand, we all know that they have abduction abilities. We know that they're psychic. We know that they're telepathic. So their level of psychological warfare is way, way beyond what the military can pull off. I mean, I'm talking here about the mainstream military and not like Black Ops, Shadow Factions, which do have a lot of these same abilities aliens do. But for example, aliens can abduct you or do a night visitation where they kind of hover over you and they telepathically interface with your mind and they can induce post-hypnotic commands. Now, what these are is they're negative programs that they can lodge into your subconscious that can also be programmed to activate either at a certain time or in response to a certain trigger. Okay. So what happens then is if they want, what they can do is they can profile multiple people, figure out their weaknesses. They can visit them at night or whenever they're being mindless and telepathically insert a subconscious command that causes them, let's say, to trigger each other. Like one person is triggered to say something and the other person has been pre-programmed to react to that in the worst possible way at that time. Okay. And while that event is happening, another ability that aliens have is real-time telepathic pressuring. So there's this window of opportunity. Let's say it's 1 minute or 15 minutes or, you know, an hour where this event can happen, where the maximum disruption would happen. And during that time, not only are both parties or even, you know, multiple parties pre-programmed to react in a certain way, but the alien being or multiple beings can watch it telepathically and influence it telepathically in that moment to add even more pressure. So that's a lot of leverage that these entities can have for manipulating people's social networks and friendships and so on, you know, which can be a big deal. Like, you know, let's say someone has a book deal or came up with a free energy invention and wants to share it with the world. And they just made a relation with an awesome investor who's going to fund their dreams. Well, it's very easy to break that up if, you know, that's forbidden. It's very easy to cause a major blowout between the two where both parties don't even understand what just happened, but it did. And the deal's off. You know, the book never gets published. The technology never gets out. And that happens so many times, it's not even funny. And that's one reason why our world is still the way it is, because so much of it is being managed from behind this this veil of secrecy and deniability too, because so many people don't even believe that these forces exist. You know, that's what gives them the upper hand in leveraging all these different situations. So other abilities that they have is they can induce forgetfulness in exactly the right moments. And that can lead to a lot of misunderstandings and, you know, dropping the ball on things. They can create artificial synchronicity. So what that is, that's like imagine getting three or four different people in the same day coming up to you by email or, you know, on the street or someone phoning you, recommending to you, let's say, the same guru or the same book. And you wonder, wow, so many different people are coming up to me telling me these things. Maybe it's a sign from God that I should pursue it, or maybe it's a sign from the universe. But what these people don't know is those individuals that were coming to them were being manipulated by none other than just you know, non-human, actually sometimes even human beings, you know, who have telepathic powers. And here I'm talking about Black Ops, shadow military factions, which I can talk more about in a bit. But, you know, it's all part of the same sphere of these superhuman, you know, super technological, super psychic entities that most people don't even know about, that seem to be pulling a lot of the strings here in the stage that we call, you know, the real world. Now, on a mass scale, aliens are also capable of waging psychological warfare by disinformation. And my book, you know, Discerning Alien Disinformation, which is also an article series on my website, which is free for anyone to view, it goes into extreme detail about examples of all the disinformation that the alien campaign has been waging over the past 20, 30, 40, 50 years. You know, and I outline example after example and all the major principles that they use. And once you read it, you can start recognizing it in so many of the popular UFO books that are out there, or, you know, channeling sources, you know, different kinds of opinion leaders and abductees. A lot of times abductees are actually mouthpieces for the forces that have been abducting and programming them. So, you know, a lot of times you can't really take what abductees and contactees say at face value, because they're just relaying what aliens have been telling them. And aliens aren't so dumb and innocent that, you know, they're going to be upfront with everything they say, right? I mean, everything that they say is pre-calculated to have a certain effect. So, yeah, so a lot of that has made itself into abduction literature, UFO literature. And a lot of people kind of take it at face value because it's like, oh, it's just data. You know, you got these different couple hundred different abductees saying the same thing. So therefore that's what the truth is. Well, not necessarily. A lot of it is a smokescreen being intentionally put out by these alien forces in order to mislead the public and to build a kind of perception of the alien phenomenon that's not entirely true. You know, a lot of it is also viral marketing to build up people's expectations for an eventual alien reveal, like a disclosure event. So, you know, so that's what I outlined in my book, Discerning Alien Disinformation. You know, all the different ways that people are being deceived, all the different lies that they're being told in order to prepare the public to wrongly deal with an eventual disclosure event when it actually comes. You know, to think that aliens are more positive than they actually are. I mean, some of them are positive and some of them are more negative, you know, relative to our own interests. But in my opinion, I think the first ones who will be showing up will be the more negative groups, because they don't follow the law of non-interference. So they're the ones who would jump at the chance to come here when the time is right, and basically try to take over in an overt way and kind of seal the amount of control that they have over our society. But in order to even pull that off, they have to wage psychological warfare on a mass scale. But like I said, it also applies on an individual scale in terms of post-hypnotic programming, real-time telepathic pressuring, forgetfulness, and artificial synchronicity in order to influence your beliefs and your decisions and your behaviors that would be advantageous to them. All right, so that's the second principle, psychological warfare. The third one is attrition, which means weaken the enemy over time until his defenses are down. And that one, that's an interesting one, because there's this occult law having to do with free will, which basically means these forces that are outside of space-time, that are that aren't 100% anchored here and physical, you know, like your next-door neighbor might be, they seem to follow this law of free will, which means that they can't violate your free will just outright, but they have to bypass, they either have to get your consent or they have to bypass your spiritual protections one chunk at a time until, you know, 10 chunks later, finally your defenses are fully down and boom, you know, they can get you the way that they want. And by get you, I'm talking about, you know, suicide, actual murder, human mutilation, you know, permanent abduction where a person goes missing, they're never seen again. These things have happened, okay? But when you look at these cases, they only seem to happen after a multi-step process of weakening, or let's say the person willingly giving away their free will by inviting these forces into their lives or getting involved in really shady things like, you know, dark occult satanic practices or taking too many drugs and so on, which can scramble your aura and weaken your spiritual shield. Now, okay, so getting back to the topic of attrition, some of the more common ways that they do it is, going back to the topic of post-hypnotic commands, think about what would happen if every night for 1,000 times you were told in your sleep that you will never see anything good about the world or others about yourself. You will only see what's ugly with the world. Imagine if that happened day after day, year after year. Can you imagine that grinding down your subconscious and your will to be a positive person? See, that's a direct example of attrition, because that level of subconscious programming, which, I mean, it's easy to do, right? I mean, no one who sleeps is going to be aware for all, you know, 7, 8, 9 hours. So it's very easy for an entity to come into your room or for you to be abducted and for you to get these subconscious post-hypnotic programs done to you that then stay in your subconscious and kind of wear you down gradually. So that's an issue. Another issue is interference with sleep. You can wear a person down just by, let's say, amping them up while they're trying to sleep so they can't sleep the full amount. You know, maybe they only get 3, 4, 5 hours of sleep and they're tired all day. And in addition to that, during the day, they can have their energy drained. Even in addition to that, they can induce nightmares. Actually, nightmares, it's not really so much an alien tactic. That's more of a demonic tactic, because demons, in my experience, are opportunistic feeders. So what they do is they can induce nightmares. They can induce extremely negative feelings, you know, of suicide, of depression, of anger, you know, irritation, things like that. And over time, that can darken a person's aura. You know, it can darken a person's spiritual energy field. And that can lead to other problems like immune issues, psychological issues, even schizophrenia in certain cases. So it's really sad what happens, but that's a pretty common thing too. Another form of attrition is attacking people around you. See, sometimes people have a very strong spiritual energy protection field just because of who they are and what reasons they're here in life for. You know, people come here into life with certain pre-agreements. Not everyone, but some people. They have these pre-life agreements about the general outline of what their life is going to be. And in my experience, there are certain entities of a positive nature who try to chaperone that process. So it's not like everyone is equally vulnerable to these forces. Some people have more protection than others, and that's why there's a lot of cases about people who have a lot of near miss experiences or near-death experiences, you know, almost getting killed but then being saved at the last moment. Whereas other people, they have one accident and boom, they're dead, you know. It's either because they were meant to or because sometimes crap just happens in this life because not everything is 100% guaranteed. But the point being that even if you have a strong energy field that protects you, other people around you might not. And those people then can be vectors to bring you down, okay? Either from them attacking you directly, by them, you know, acting uncharacteristically negative or getting paranoid ideas about you that aren't true and therefore sabotaging your relations. Or it can be done by them themselves, let's say getting harmed, like, you know, it could be a child, it could be a spouse, it could be your mother, it could be your sister, whatever. If they're weak in a spiritual sense, they can be harmed. And because of your relations to them, that then can backfire on you as well, because then you get dragged into it because you love them and you have to care for them. So there are these links between people, and anywhere along that chain, these forces can yank it and therefore get back to you. Okay, so that's another form of attrition. But the point being that all these things that happen, they happen through a multi-step process where it begins with a little bit of attrition, like a little step, a little thing that brings you down. And then if you accept that and if you let yourself get weaker, then, you know, it's even stronger next time. And after that, it's even stronger. And eventually, before you know it, you're in this downward spiral of depression, letting yourself go. You know, you're losing your health, you're losing your sleep, you're losing your spiritual balance. And then, you know, it can get to a point where either you do yourself in or you're weak enough that some major accident can happen or something like that. But the point is, if you can spot this process happening, then you can stop it in the very beginning. So it never, ever gets to the point where these forces then have enough leverage or enough free will taken away from you where they can, you know, do their final coup de grace and take you down. So that's why it's important to kind of watch yourself and make sure you don't actually let yourself slip away into a downward spiral, because that's what attrition is all about. It's a process of gradual weakening. And you can take steps early on to boost yourself back up and kind of get back to that safe zone. All right. So that's attrition. The fourth one is the element of surprise, which means attack when the enemy is weakest, when they're off balance, when they're least prepared, and most of all, when they're not expecting it. And what this does is this creates a window of disorientation that the attacker then can exploit. Now, the worst attacks tend to happen when you're tired, you know, when you're discombobulated, when you're amped up, you know, when you're already irritated, fuzzy-headed, and off balance. And these forces, they have methods of inducing these things. And I don't know if it's all telepathic or if it's technological. I remember one time after a night of extremely negative, discombobulating dreams that just drained me, I woke up into this halfway state between waking and sleeping, the twilight zone, you know, the hypnopompic state. And I noticed there was all this clicking going on in my ear. You know, it's a form of tinnitus, but for me, it only happens occasionally, you know, so it's not like a regular ear dysfunction. It's very specific. And in that state, because I'm mildly psychic in that state, I decided to focus in on what the source of this clicking was. And what happened was I immediately popped into what seemed like an underground base room. It was a military base, actually. It had square walls, you know, painted with cinder blocks. And there was this guy sitting in a chair reading a hypnotic script, reading commands to a group of what seemed to be three psychics who were in flotation tanks. Somewhat like in that movie, Minority Report. It was featured in there.
Yes. Okay.
And so that's what I popped into. And these psychics were repeating what this guy was saying. And my impression was that they, with whatever this force was, you know, these three psychics and these flotation tanks. The other impression I got was that they were being chemically enhanced to be more psychic than they actually were, you know, naturally. Okay. So it kind of reminded me of like those satellite arrays where they got multiple satellites to, you know, scan the universe and things like that. But the point being that, you know, these three things, they seem to be focusing in on me. And I suspect that perhaps they were responsible for some of these negative dreams that I was having earlier in the night. You know, my natural instinct was to try to cut off that connection as quickly as possible and put up a shield to reduce their influence over that. And then later in that day, because of these dreams, and I was so discombobulated, on my forum, funny enough, all hell broke loose. Like multiple people were going crazy on each other and just creating the maximum amount of chaos. And these were things that had been building up for days, right? So it's funny that on the very morning that I needed to be at my best, because I was the sole moderator, I was the sole administrator of the entire forum, on that very morning that I would have this experience leading up to that, okay? And that was sort of my first introduction to the idea, like, okay, maybe this stuff isn't random. What if there is some sort of an artificial element to it? And that's when I started logging these things, you know, figuring out the cycles, you know, asking people like, okay, you know, let's debrief here. Like, what did you actually feel? Like, what made you react this way? And some of them, you know, I'm actually a lot of them were scared of their own reactions. They felt like they hadn't been feeling right the past couple of days. Like multiple people simultaneously within the same time period were feeling like they're being overcome by this external force that was applying a huge amount of pressure. Okay. Now in that case, because that experience happened that morning, I was somewhat expecting something to happen. And because of that, the things didn't fully get out of control, but they could have very easily. And from that point onward, I made it a point to look at my dreams, look at my different other precognitive indicators to figure out who would cause a problem, when it would happen, what it would be about. And based on that information, so many times I was able to head off these manipulated, orchestrated blowouts before they would ever happen. And people were absolutely stunned that I called them out on it before they even, you know, were triggered. they're totally surprised that I figured out what they're up to before they gave away any sign of it. And that's because of these precognitive indicators that I was able to assemble and look for and watch for and figure out, you know, what was going to happen. Okay. But the element of surprise, if I didn't expect it, all that stuff would have gone off without a hitch. And, it would have had very bad consequences for a lot of the projects and friendships and, information sharing that came out of it because of me looking out for these attack events, which didn't end up coming to fruition, you know, due to vigilance on my part. All right. So that was the element of surprise. It's very important for these beings. They tend to attack you when you least expect it, where you least expect it, in the way that you least expect it. But if you have good intuition, if you pay attention to your dreams, which can be precognitive a lot of times, then you can kind of get a heads up of these things and expect it and therefore keep it from happening. So now let's talk about another one, the element of momentum. So in actual like combat, what forces tend to do is they tend to use speed to steamroll through an attack, you know, as wisely as they can, basically in order to overwhelm the enemy and keep them on the defensive, you know, unable to regain their composure or fight back. So the way this applies to when these forces screw with us in real life is that when the attack is on, it's on, like big time. So what happens is all of a sudden the trap gets sprung and you're scrambling to contain the situation, and it doesn't let up. Typically it gets worse within that window of opportunity. You know, like I said, it can be a minute, it could be 15 minutes, it could be an hour, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. And a lot of times, it's because your own subconscious has been pre-programmed with these post-hypnotic commands to act in a certain way. Like your subconscious is literally waiting for someone else to say the right words that pushes your button in order for you to lash back in a certain way that pushes their button. It's this mutual programmed orchestration that happens. And so when this kind of momentum starts building up, the only thing you can really do is practice self-awareness and self-control. Like you have to be aware that it's happening, and you have to kind of get a grip of yourself and bite your tongue if you have to, okay? Because ultimately you're in control of your own reactions if you want to be. And through your own reactions, you can control the situation. You can't control them, but you can control your reactions. And if you don't give them the triggers that they need to make the rest of this orchestration work, then the entire thing falls apart. Okay, so that was another method that I used on my forum. You know, I knew when certain people needed a certain trigger prompt for me, and I would purposely not do it. And they, in turn, would start going a little bit crazy, like feeling like they had to do something in response to something, but they weren't getting it. So they would start acting out in extremely irrational ways. And other people, meanwhile, on the sidelines who weren't part of this orchestration, they'd be mystified that this person kind of blowing their top for no reason. And it's because, you know, they're kind of like left holding the bag. You know, they were a part of a machine that wasn't responding, that wasn't connecting with another part. So they were kind of like off to the side wobbling on their own until they just kind of fizzled out. So I saw that happen so many times. It was quite entertaining. And I learned how to diffuse these situations in a very elegant way that mystified a lot of the people on the sidelines who didn't know what was going on. Yeah, so that's the element of momentum. You know, once it starts building up, just arrest that momentum by having self-control and self-awareness and putting your foot down and stopping your side of it, because then it can't continue. All right, so let's talk about one more, a couple more. Simultaneity. So what that means is, if you're going to attack something, you should mobilize multiple prongs of attack at the same time from different directions in order to overwhelm the enemy. So the way this works out is these forces, first of all, like I said before, they can profile and they can program both you and others. And like I said, they can telepathically pressure both you and others in real time as well. In addition to that, when I mentioned the moon cycles, well, it's because astrological factors, they amplify the probability of certain types of events over others, you know, depending on what the astrological alignment is. So if you have certain alignments that are conducive for inward depression or outward aggression or, you know, accidents, things like that, if these forces can time their orchestrations in concert with that, then they get a boost, okay? It's kind of like the military attacking, in the old days, you know, attacking during a full moon so they can see at night. Or in modern days with night vision, you know, they attack when it's low light so that the enemy who doesn't have night vision, they can't really see him coming. It's kind of like that, but more on an etheric, astrological, occult level, where sometimes certain conditions are more conducive for certain types of attacks than others, okay? But anyway, as far as like simultaneity goes, they have different avenues. You know, like I said, they can program you subconsciously, telepathically persuade you in real time. They have people that they can manipulate to use as puppets to kind of pour fuel on the fire. And they can weaken you through lack of sleep, intense emotional pressure, and discombobulation through nightmares, and so on. And it's all designed to set people up by playing their strengths and weaknesses against each other, you know, using their hot buttons. So the only thing you can really do about that is to anticipate what's going to happen and to take preventative measures and to, you know, set up contingencies. So like I said, you know, back on the forum, for example, I knew who it would be, what the issue would be about, and roughly when it would happen. And I would take steps ahead of time to head it off. And, you know, I had about a 75% success rate with it, because sometimes, you know, I just couldn't pull it off, you know, correctly. But yeah, I mean, usually when different things are happening at the same time from multiple directions, it's pretty difficult. I mean, it's pretty tough. It's spiritually difficult to deal with so many different types of negative pressures at the same time. But you know, that's where spiritual strengthening comes in. If you make it through and you learn from the experience and you become stronger as a person because of it. So yeah, so that's the principle of simultaneity, you know, hit from different directions all at once. Another one would be agility. be flexible enough to move your forces when and where needed in order to adapt quickly to changes. Now, this one's interesting because that's actually these forces' biggest weaknesses. Weakness, because they don't actually have a lot of flexibility in my experience. Like demons, for example. Demons are kind of lowbrow in that they tend to apply the same template over and over again to different people across the board. You know, they're not very flexible. Now, some have theorized that these demons, these entities, they're outside of time. And so therefore, they don't perceive time the same way that we do. And a lot of times they're not as quick to react to changes. Okay, that's one theory. The other theory is that, for example, if it's gray aliens that are in charge of orchestrating these things, well, we know even from abduction experiences and reports that grays are very hive-like. They don't have a lot of capability of being flexible and thinking on their own and responding in an impromptu manner. You know, there's this chain of command that they look up, and it takes time to get orders back, you know, and how to proceed. So like with abductions, for example, when something goes wrong, you know, the abductee isn't fully paralyzed or starts resisting, a lot of times the abduction ends right there, which is interesting because you'd think, okay, here we are, these 3D human beings without any advanced technology, and here they are, these whatever they are, you know, whether they're from the future or whatever, but they've got technology that's way in advance of ours. And we end up doing something as an abductee to end the abduction right there. It's almost like we have more power than them in that moment. But I think that all that is because we're reacting in a way that hits them at their weak spot, which is their inability to respond flexibly and quickly to change. You know, maybe it's because they're too cerebral and too overanalytic, and they can't deal with that. Or maybe it's a free will factor. Maybe when we resist and show our will, they have to call it off in certain cases. But whatever the case, yeah, I mean, it's better for us ourselves to use our strength of agility, meaning that we can respond quickly to whatever these orchestrations and attacks are. You know, like I said, back on the forum issue, it was my ability to predict and respond to these things in real time that allowed me to defuse them. But these entities, in turn, weren't able to respond quickly enough to me changing. So therefore, you know, the moment that I did, a lot of these things just kind of fizzled out right then and there. Two more. So the next principle is the principle of efficiency or economy of force. And what that means is conserve your resources so that you can concentrate them where they really count. And that's not actually something that they necessarily do other than timing their attack within a certain window where we are weakest. But this is more applicable to how we can respond to that. And what I mean by that is this. Vigilance is the number one weapon that we have to prevent ourselves from getting manipulated by forces that we are not fully aware of. Okay. The problem is you can't be aware and alert 24/7. It just takes too much energy to be that aware and that alert all the time. But if you have an idea, if you have indicators, precursors of when they're going to try something, whether it's an abduction, whether it's some sort of an orchestrated blowout in your daily life, if you watch for these precognitive indicators, these precursors, and you know it's going to happen, then you can triple your alert level and head it off if you want to, or if you can diffuse it if it's in the process of happening. So you're being efficient with your energy that way by putting your defenses and your alertness where it counts and when it counts. So that's efficiency. And the final one, the final principle of spiritual combat or combat in general is leverage, meaning use the enemy's strength and momentum against him and make his biggest strength his biggest weakness. So the way this works is if you are an intellectual person, the kind of programming that these forces can give you or the kind of orchestrated situations they can put in your lap, they can cause you to... Well, they can induce over-analysis. They can make you obsessed. They can make you go in circles. You know, they can get you tangled up in a web of uncertainty and paranoia. You know, I mean, normally you're a rational person. You're very good at thinking about things and you analyze things in depth. But that itself is a weakness because it can get you spinning in these out-of-control thought loops if you're not careful. Okay. If on the other hand, you're a very non-reactive and a very composed person, that's a strength. You know, most people consider composure a strength. But that can be used to build a perception in other people that you're cold, that you're uncaring, that you don't stick up for others, you know, that you're not a fighter, that you're a coward. And that can create resentment in other people that can be leveraged. It can be used as your biggest weakness to, you know, disrupt friendships and networks and relationships and so on. Or for example, let's say you're a very friendly and loving and optimistic person. Well, they can exploit gullibility to con you. They can hook you up with someone who's an energy feeder that takes up all of your time for, you know, no real results whatsoever. So what I would advise people to do is I would advise you to just get a piece of paper and list out all your strengths and all your weaknesses and really ponder on how your strengths can become your weaknesses. You know, and think of ways that you can be mindful to not fall for that, okay? So yeah, so I mean, just in quick review, we've got intelligence, you know, them gathering intelligence on you and knowing more than you about you than you know about yourself. Psychological warfare, attrition, weakening you over time. Surprise, attacking you where you least expect it. Momentum, keeping it up once it starts going and basically pummeling you unless you gain self-control and self-awareness. Simultaneity, hitting you from multiple points at the same time, both within you and around you. Agility, which is your ability to adapt to what they're doing, which allows you to get a leg up on the situation. Efficiency, which means, in your case, being alert where it counts and marshaling your forces during these windows when a disruption is most likely. And finally, leverage, where your strengths can become your greatest weaknesses, which requires you to become aware of them and figure out how to head them off, you know, should they be exploited as such. So yeah, those are some of the 9 major principles of spiritual combat.
Yes, and the points you made are really applicable to the lives of people like us who have these experiences, Tom, because I'm thinking of like the attrition aspect, how you just get grinded down from all these different directions, the simultaneity of the attack, so car problems, the sudden thought pops into your mind to drive to some place and you run over a nail and get a flat tire, and then all these things, and then different people in your life and your personal network and your family networks start getting triggered and activated to chip away at your self-worth and be a big distraction. People don't see that as spiritual warfare, but because of this ability of these forces to plug in, first of all, like you pointed out, they profile us. They know our strengths and weaknesses, and then they know who our social and family networks are. And if they can't get to us, you're right, they will go through other people. And the aspect of economic bondage, which is a whole other aspect where we live in a monetized debt system, so many people stressed out about making ends meet, so many people stressed out about finding or losing a job, and all those things can be turned into these endless thought loops. And the ability to remain composed, like you said, and not feed into that paranoia and that fear, which turns into a snowball effect. And the real world examples, the real time examples you described about the forum and how certain people, and after a while you've figured out pretty much who some of these characters would be because of you profiled them in a way. And you were able to head them off at the pass, the forces that were likely to manipulate them. That's a very key thing for people to understand, because this is a multiple threat environment that we're in. And that's what a lot of these New Agers want to distract us from. They want to keep us thinking about ascension, thinking about higher dimensions. Well, we're here in physical embodiment, Tom. And so the points you made about these war strategies are absolutely critical for gaining a better understanding of what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously. You know, I never really thought about it in such a systematic way until many years ago when I was forced to, you know, by the order and the intelligence that were behind these things. Okay. So I'm not saying, right, that everyone who experiences anything negative is necessarily being targeted by forces. What I'm talking about is consistent, regular, extremely elegant coming together of the most misfortunate circumstances possible to create the maximum amount of damage, you know, to the point where it's almost supernatural. You know, that's what clues one in that it's not just random chance,
do you see, like you pointed out that some people naturally have a stronger defense, for lack of a better term, be it either a natural innate defense they brought with them and or spirit guide help, if you will, that kind of guides and navigates them through these challenges. Do you see a pattern sometimes where people that have the potential to kind of throw a monkey wrench into this matrix system, how they seem to be particularly targeted? Have you ever seen that before?
I think that is the precondition for being targeted to that level, because I don't think a person would. I think it has to do with their potential, you know, the potential or their actual actions about how much of a threat they are to the control system. And it doesn't have to be, you know, a threat in the sense of, oh, I'm going to research alien material and expose the alien agenda to the world. It doesn't have to be on that level. It can just be, oh, I'm here to lift people out of their misery, you know, to uplift them, show them a more spiritual, empowering vision, you know, be there for them. Being a positive influence in this world. See, being a positive influence for other people in this world, it's kind of like going into a dairy farm and unplugging all the hoses, you know, from all the teats of the cows, right? The farmer is going to get angry that you're reducing his milk supply. So that alone can get you targeted in many, many instances. But yeah, you know what? Let me talk quickly about synchronistic protection, because that's such a huge factor that I think some people don't really think about, right? So here, let me just go into that quickly, if you don't mind, James.
Oh, please.
Okay, so we know from personal experience, whether your own or what others have shared, that people often have some level of divine or synchronistic protection in life. Like, in more extreme cases, for example, there's so many cases where, let's say they're about to be in an accident or a tornado or a tsunami comes their way, or they're in the middle of a mass shooting and something highly improbable or supernatural happens to get them out of it. You know, maybe they hear a voice urgently telling them to do or not do something that ends up saving their lives. Maybe the shooter's gun jams, even though it's the type known for being ultra reliable, you know, and almost never happens. Maybe their car, you know, ends up being a twisted wreck, but they come out of it completely unscathed. You know, these things have happened. I know people like that. And my girlfriend is an example. She has had 17 times in her life where she almost died, where something miraculous ended up saving her. Now, in terms of probability, that's pretty unusual. I don't think that's normal. So that's a potential example of direct divine intervention, it seems. Now, we also know that your thoughts, your feelings, your beliefs, through some sort of a quantum process, they can influence what you attract in life, and they can therefore play a role in how lucky or unlucky you are in general. So like, for example, if you're going down this kind of worrisome path in life, this wrong path, and you're wrapped up in a lot of depression, anger, and other negative thoughts and feelings, due to this quantum resonance principle, you start attracting more misfortunes, more accidents, more illnesses, fights, and so on. And like I said, that has to do with a quantum resonance effect between what's going on in your subconscious energy field and what's out there in the world in terms of probable futures. Sort of a resonance happens between the two, and so therefore you start attracting what you subconsciously resonate with. But what this all means is that some people, if not many people, have a kind of synchronistic shield around themselves that cuts down on the bad things that are happening to them. Now, note that I said cut down and not eliminate. And that's because the shield isn't 100%. I mean, if it were 100%, then we wouldn't need to buy food or keep a roof over our heads, because food would just drop out of the sky like manna, right? But that doesn't happen. And the reason is because of free will. Because in a way, we've chosen here to incarnate into a physical environment that has set rules and set risks and set limitations. And these rules can be somewhat bent, but unless you're an enlightened spiritual master, you're not going to break them like Neo in the Matrix, okay? Especially not consistently. And secondly, we're here with other beings who have free will. And some of those beings choose to try and violate our free will. And the way they do it is they do it using the physical and occult laws that we are subject to just by being here, just by being human, just by being in these human bodies, okay? So, a simple example of that would be a criminal wanting to invade your home, right? He can do that because the laws of physics say that, okay, if you open a door, you walk through, shoot a gun, it injures a person, kills them. I mean, those are the laws of physics. And a lot of times that can happen just because the person is in the wrong place at the wrong time. But if you have the synchronistic protection field, you can cut down on the probability of that happening in the first place. The only issue is it's not 100% foolproof. And that's why, in addition to practicing spiritual self-defense, you know, where you keep your vibes up and you kind of practice a kind of spiritual hygiene where you monitor, you know, what limiting beliefs you subject yourself to. You try not to get yourself wrapped up in a downward spiral of depression and letting yourself go. In addition to that kind of spiritual self-defense, I'm also a believer in just having some basic physical preparedness as well, because we are dual beings. You know, we're partly spiritual and we're partly physical. And I think growth and nurturing and protection needs to happen on both levels. So yeah, you know, we have synchronistic protection, but at the same time, we also need some physical protection in order to cover all bases.
Yes, because we are in physical embodiment. And when we come back here, if we happen to be caught up in this cycle of recyclement, for lack of a better term, or if we choose to become a part of the recyclement in order to perhaps dismantle or find a way to dismantle this matrix system, there are certain limitations, Tom, certain inhibitions which we accept. Okay, we're going into physical embodiment, and therefore we're going to be subject to many of these spiritual rules and cosmic laws, which we're only dimly aware of because of the memory swipes, incarnation after incarnation. So, you know, it's a tall order. I think that a lot of people were called, and, you know, the people that decided to come here and make a difference, those are the real game changers and the real players in our field. And I'm really, really excited about what we're going to talk about in the second half. We've reached the end of the first half of a fascinating segment with our guest, Tom Montauk. Tom, could you tell our listeners what your website is again?
Yeah, my website is montauk.net. That's MONTALK.net.
And you're listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. If you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.